scripture reading is, I'm going to start 2nd book of Nephi, 13th chapter. And this is so familiar. Can everybody hear me? I sometimes get up here and everybody can't hear me. So I'm going to start in the 27th verse. "And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask, if all is done, behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life."
Take care of you still to the end. Oh. peace. I believe that the scripture that our young brother read to us was inspired, that he was inspired to read it. And as he read it, I did feel the Spirit. So I ask you to give him your attention.
Thank you. If anybody can't hear me at any time, I wish they'd raise their hand and wave it or something. I asked for Chris to sing that song. I asked her to sing a special for me, and she said, "Well, you have to tell me what you want me to sing." And based on what I feel impressed to speak about tonight, I asked her to sing that, and I want to bring that song into my sermon, but I want to start out first. I'm going to start in Hebrews 11th chapter. And I want to talk about something tonight that we all know and have heard many times. I want to talk about faith and hope. And I want to talk about a word that I call positive attitude. I want to start in the first verse of the 11th chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things to hope for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are not seen were made of things which do appear. I will skip down to the sixth verse. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want you to remember that last part of the verse right there, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. On the same subject of faith, I want to go to Alma, the 16th chapter. In the 143rd verse, it's page 442. And now, as I said concerning faith, faith is not to have a perfect knowledge of things. Therefore, if ye have faith, ye hope for things which are not seen, which are true. And now, behold, I say unto you, and I would that ye should remember, that God is merciful unto all who believe on his name. Therefore, he desireth in the first place that they should believe, yea, even on his word. You know, there's been a lot of talk over the pulpit, I've noticed, since reunion, and on faith and miracles and the things that Christ said would come to pass if we had faith. And I want to think about some of those things tonight. I'm going to go again on the subject of faith to the fifth chapter of Ether. I'm going to start in the fourth verse. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. I want you to notice, when I read about faith, there's always that word hope in there. It goes hand in hand with it. And it came to pass that Ether did prophesy great and marvelous things unto the people, which they did not believe, because they saw them not. And now I, Moroni, would speak somewhat concerning these things. I would show unto the world that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. Wherefore, dispute not, because ye see not, for ye receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. For it was by faith that Christ showed himself unto our fathers after he had risen from the dead. And he showed not himself unto them until they had faith in him. Wherefore, it must needs be that some had faith in him, for he showed himself not unto the world. But because of the faith of men, he had shown himself unto the world, and glorified the name of the Father. and prepared a way that thereby others might partake of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for those things which they have not seen. Wherefore, ye may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if ye will but have faith. I want to not change the trend of thought, but I want to go into... I want to add some thought to this. You know, we're promised, there's lots of promises in the scriptures that we're promised if we have faith and if we claim them. And I want to talk about some of these promises. I want to go to Nahum, first chapter. I want to talk about another word that is right hand in hand with faith, and that's trust. I want to read the 7th verse. It says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." I want you to keep that in mind. The Lord knows those that trust in him. Now I want to go to James. In the first chapter, and if when I read this, it should bring to mind a young man who went out in the woods to pray after reading this scripture and saw many marvelous things, and he translated this book that we used called the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read the 5th and the 6th verses. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." You know, as the Lord said, he'll give us an understanding. If we have something that we have a question about and we ask, he said he'll give that. If we believe that he will, and if we believe that he can. I want to read out of Alma, the 17th chapter. And I've read this a lot. I guess probably the reason why I like this scripture so much is because it speaks to everybody, but it speaks to me because he was talking to, this is Alma talking to his son. I'm going to start in the 66th verse. "Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ." And we know if we go to the first Corinthians, the 10th chapter, that there's a promise written there that there's no temptation that we can't overcome. There's no temptation that if we pray the Lord, he'll give us the strength to overcome it. Whatever that strength is, he'll give it to us. And that's just what it's saying here. "Teach them never to be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. Oh, my son, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support." And this is where I want to make another point. In the next verse. "Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord. And whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed in the Lord forever." And now, this next thing is what I want to point out. "Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good." Now, I have a testimony about this, but I want to read two more scriptures. I want to read in Proverbs. Andy read this during his sermon. And this really touched me. And this says what I would like to say. We're reading the third chapter of Proverbs in the fifth verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And that's one point I want to make. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, these two that I've just read, and the next one I will read, they have something in there. They tell us, you know, you ask the Lord and he'll direct your paths for good. And that we shouldn't lean on our own understanding. He'll give the understanding. And I want to go to the second book of Nephi, the 14th chapter. And this is one that we all have heard again. For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray, for the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. And we all have heard this time after time after time. But behold, I say unto you, that ye must pray always and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. You know, I have a testimony, some things that I prayed about. You know, I've read these scriptures for quite a while and understood them, but still, I didn't always take everything to the Lord. And you know, that turns out to be a hurt. Because you make up your mind you're going to do something, you don't ask the Lord if that's his will, if that's what is best for me and my soul. And you know, some things I did pray about, but, and he gave me an answer, but I just persisted on praying about this because I couldn't see this answer unless it was answered my way. But you know, then my thoughts got changed around. You know, my mom and I and Ronnie and I think Tricia and Gerald and Tamara, we all went back to a camp for all ages in Missouri in 1981 in the summer. And while I was back there, I saw that and I thought, well, that would be awful neat if we could have one of them out here. So I started praying about it, and you know, it took years, 2 years to materialize. But this is where I want to bring in the aspect of a positive attitude. You know, there were so many things that could have stopped that. But we kept praying about it, saying, you know, if it's your will, we'll trust you. And that's what I want to get across, that there's so many things that if we just trust him and say, you know, like Andy said, you know, if we don't have a positive attitude, we're going to be whipped before we start. There's so many things we could do if we just wouldn't let things get us down. Just like temptation, we say, oh, it's too hard. I'm never going to be able to overcome this. If we'd say, the Lord said I can do it. He said he'll give me the strength. That's when we're going to make it. That's when we're going to overcome those things. You know, took a year and we started talking about it. Pretty soon we started planning it, kept praying about it, and it materialized, and it was a joy to me. And then we come to this camp for all ages in September, Missouri. And Andy and I wanted to go to that. It seemed like there was everything in our way that could possibly be in the way. Come home from reunion, we had 3 weeks and I didn't have a cent of money. Time, I had school. It just seemed like there was no way we could possibly make it. And Andy and I talked about it and we said, well, are we going to give up? We're not even going to try. We can say right now, you know, we'll just never be able to make it. I know it, so why exert the effort? But we decided we weren't going to do that. And we kept praying about it and praying about it. You know, and we prayed, Lord, if it's your will, open the way. But we didn't give up right there. We didn't say, well, it's all up to you. We're not going to try. And you, if it's your will, we'll go. And if not, even though we didn't try, we'll... If we don't go, well, no, it wasn't your will. But we tried, and we made it. And you know, that taught me a big lesson, that if we put our mind and have faith, like the scripture says, you know, sure, we can get downhearted when things don't happen, but that's another scripture I want to read about patience. I think that's the next one. That's in Romans. It's not in patience, but I'll show you what I'm saying here. The 8th chapter. In the 24th verse, I want to read. And this is talking some about faith and hope again. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen, that is seen, is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? I hope everybody can understand this. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know, there's a lot of things that we pray for that we want instantly. But we've been taught patience too. We have to have patience. And because the Lord doesn't instantly do what we want, that doesn't mean that it's not His will. But not necessarily at that time. I want to read in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. And just like this song, you know, Jay's sermon today, I'm going to mention some about that a little later, but just like, you know, the song that Chris sang, God will take care of you, be not afraid. We've been taught in the scriptures, and it's in the scriptures that we don't have to fear. If we have faith and we lay hold of that promise, we don't. We don't have to fear anything. And just like that dream that Bill had, I was thinking about that today. When it says, what have I to dread, what have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. And that goes with this, with faith and hope. I want to read in 17th chapter Jeremiah, 5th verse through the 8th verse. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabited. And here's this word again, trust. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. I want you to remember this. This word hope is going to come out a lot too, as I keep going. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You know, if we trust in the Lord, and these things he says he'll do for us, if we trust in that, and say, you know, we've prayed about it, we pray about everything in our lives, and we want you to take control. We want you to lead us to that. It's best for the welfare of our souls. And like it said, if we have a question and we ask him about it, we're going to get our answer. And like you said, we'll be blessed. I want to go to Moroni, the 7th chapter. And here again, we're going to see faith and read about it. I also want to remind you of the scripture that faith, hope, and charity bringeth to pass the fountain of all righteousness, something to that effect. That's in the scripture. I believe that's in either Ether or Moroni somewhere. I want to start with the 35th verse, page 766 in the book of Moroni. And Christ has said, if ye will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. And he has said, repent all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye might be saved. And this that scripture that I read, there's something else I wanted to say. The scripture that I read for the scripture reading, if you notice, it had all these aspects in it that I'm talking about tonight. And now, my beloved brethren, if this be the case, that these things are true, which I have spoken unto you, and God will show unto you with power and great glory at the last day that they are true, and if they are true, has the day of miracles ceased? Or have angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or has he withheld the power of the Holy Ghost from them? Or will he, so long as time shall last, or the earth shall stand, or there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved? Behold, I say unto you, nay, for it is by faith that miracles are wrought, and it is by faith that angels appear and minister unto men. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, woe be unto the children of men, for it is because of unbelief, and all is vain, for no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, then has faith ceased also. And awful is the state of man, for they are as though there had been no redemption made. But behold, my beloved brethren, I judge better things of you, for I judge that ye have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For if ye have not faith in him, then ye are not fit to be numbered among the people of his church. And here's the next point I want to talk about. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. And here's this other aspect I want to bring in. I think this all has to do, I say a positive attitude, but I guess the way to say that properly is faith and hope and trust. I guess those are the words that I'd have to use for a positive attitude. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Now he's going to answer that. Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. That's where we have hope. Having faith in the promises that he's made, that's where we have our hope. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope, for without faith, there cannot be any hope. Now we see that we just can't have one or the other, we have to have them both. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain, for none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And we all know what charity is. And I'll just read a little part of that, and that's, the charity believeth all things and hopeth all things. Well, so we see we have to have charity along with these. You know, I'm going to start in and talk a little bit about Jay's sermon now. And I want to apply these things that I've just read about to some of the things that Jay talked about this morning. He said, I don't want you to be saddened after I tell you all these things that are supposed to happen. He said, and then someone said, you know, if you tell me about that, well, tell me what I should do. And so I'm going to tell a little bit more what we should do. In the third chapter. And I want you to take notice before I start reading this. There's many places in the scriptures that talks about God's people being few in the last days. But I also want to remind you of a story of Gideon in the Bible. or I think it was 300, stood against the whole host because the Lord was with them. Because they had faith in him, and they stood and they conquered. I'm going to read 226. And it came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few, because of the wickedness and abominations of the whore that set upon many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld the church of the Lamb, who were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth, and their dominions upon the face of the earth were small, because of the wickedness of the great whore whom I saw. And it came to pass that I beheld that the great mother of abominations did gather together in multitudes upon the face of all the earth, among all the nations of the Gentiles, to fight against the Lamb of God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb, and upon the covenant people of the Lord, who were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God and great glory. If we remember Jay's sermon today, he read out of the 24th chapter of Matthew. And then he read out of Revelations. And he read, I think it's the 24th verse, or the 14th verse, one or the other. He read where it said that the gospel of the kingdom would go forth as a witness unto all nations, and then the end would come. And this that I've just read is the start of this. But I want you to notice that the saints were few. And now with that, I want to read another in the scriptures again, in Jacob, about few and about what those few are going to do. I want to read Jacob, the third chapter. I'm going to start in the 125th verse. Page 185, for all that are following along. Wherefore, go to and call servants, that we may labor diligently with our might in the vineyard, that we may prepare the way, that I may bring forth again the natural fruit, which natural fruit is good and most precious above all other fruit. Wherefore, let us go to and labor with our might this last time, for behold, the end draweth nigh, and this is the last time that I shall prune my vineyard. If we were here today, Jay mentioned this end, this last time, this last season. Graft in the branches, begin at the last, that they may be first, and that the first may be last. And then there we notice that it says, begin at the last, that they may be first. And as we know, the Gentiles are those that were last. And now that the Gentiles are bringing this gospel back to those that were first in the tribe of Israel. And that the first may be last. And dig about the trees, both old and young, the first and the last, and the last and the first, that they may be nourished once again for the last time. Wherefore, dig about them and prune them. And dung them once more for the last time. For the end draweth nigh. And if it so be that these last grafts shall grow and bring forth the natural fruit, then shall ye prepare the way for them that they might grow. And as they begin to grow, ye shall clear away the branches which bring forth bitter fruit, according to the strength of the good and the size thereof. And ye shall not clear away the bad thereof all at once, lest the roots thereof should be too strong for the graft, and the graft thereof should perish, and I should lose the trees of my vineyard. For it grieveth me that I should lose the trees of my vineyard. Wherefore, ye shall clear away the bad according as the good shall grow, that the root and the top thereof may be equal in strength, until the good shall overcome the bad, and the bad be hewn down and cast into the fire, that they cumber not the ground of my vineyard, and thus will I sweep away the bad out of my vineyard. And the branches of the natural tree will I graft in again into the natural tree, and the branches of the natural tree will I graft into the natural branches of the tree. And thus will I bring them together again, that they shall bring forth the natural fruit, and they shall be one. And the bad shall be cast away, yea, even out of all the land of my vineyard, for behold, only this once will I prune my vineyard. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant, and the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few. There's that word few again. I want you to take notice of what these few are going to do. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, go to and labor in the vineyard with your mights. For behold, this is the last time that I shall nourish my vineyard. For the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your mights with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which will soon come. And it came to pass that the servants did go and labor with their mights, and the Lord of the vineyard labored also with them, and they did obey the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. You know, like I said in Matthew, when it said the gospel is going to go forth, you know, if we know it's going forth whether we do it or not, but if we tell ourselves, well, we're so few, we'll never do that, or if you talk to somebody the first time and they don't seem too interested, you say, well, you know, I doubt if I'll ever, if the Spirit will ever touch them. You know, there's some in this room, and I've seen a lot of people that I never had any hope for. I'm sorry to say that, and I can't be that way anymore. But the first time I met them, they just didn't impress me at all. I didn't even hardly want to tell them about the gospel. I thought, you know, they will never want to listen. No matter what I say, they're just going to rebel against it. So why even tell them? And you know, some of them are sitting in here, or they should be sitting in here. Oh, they might be working. And some of them that others have talked to that were that way, they're sitting in here today. And you know, I don't think we can give up on anybody. But we have to have hope. And like you said, in Moroni, we have to have hope in that resurrection of Christ and eternal life. And the way we're going to have that hope is believing that if we endure to the end, like I read in the first, which I probably ought to go back and look at a little more. It says, wherefore, if you press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God of all men and all men, wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. He laid it out right there. This is what you got to do to have eternal life. But I want you to notice that having a perfect brightness of hope. You know, we have to have hope in the promises that he's given us. We have to have faith in those and believe in them. And like I said, there's a lot of things. And when we ask him something, even though we don't get it right now, we have to keep hoping and knowing and have that faith that he's going to answer it the way that's right with him. The way that's going to be the best for us. I want to talk about something else now that Jay talked about today. I guess I really haven't talked about the few. You know, even though we are few, and will be few, there's the promise that the gospel is going to go forth and that there's going to be few people that take it. And we have to have hope and faith in that promise. You know, Jay talked about, I believe it was the sixth or seventh seal. I'll turn over there. I'll turn over to Revelations real quick. In the sixth chapter, I'm going to start in the ninth verse. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true? Oops, wrong one. Here we go. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood upon them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for yet a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. I want to talk about people that suffer for righteousness' sake. And I want you to notice when I read this. The promise is given to them. I'm going to start in the 12th verse in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? That's a good question. Who can harm us if we're followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We should always be ready to tell about the hope that we have within us. And what was that hope? We read that in Moroni, the hope of eternal life, that if we endure to the end, we will obtain that resurrection that Christ had, and we'll attain eternal life if we endure to the end. That's the hope that we have, our hope in Christ, and that he'll continue to lead us in our faith in his promises. And I want to read about death. You know, I want to read, kind of tell the story first. I'm going to read in Alma, the 15th chapter. And I want to close with this when I kind of try to sum everything up. First thing I started talking about was faith. And how that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And you know, there's that word in there, hope. That we trust in the Lord and like his promise in Moroni again, and I believe it's in Luke, and that whatever we ask in his name, that's right, with faith believing that is good, we'll receive. And then I talked about those that trust in the Lord. I believe trusting in the Lord is the same as believing in him and having faith. And then we should ask him about every aspect in our life. And then we should have patience. And if it's right, it's going to be granted in his time. If it's right, he'll bless us with that. I want to read about now this is talking about the Lamanites that were converted. Under Ammon and his brother, when they left, they fasted and prayed, and they put their faith in the Lord, and they went to the Lamanite people, which were hard against the Nephites and hated them. And then again, if they would have said, well, we're never going to reach them, and it wouldn't have went, they never would have had the success that the Lord gave them. But because they put their faith in him, and they said, you know, no matter what kind of people these are, we're going to try. And that's with anything. If we don't try, we're never going to make it. We're never going to make it. Because trying is, like I read in the first, the Lord, you know, those that diligently seek him, he'll bless them. And he'll help them because that's his promise. And if we don't try, then we just like a dog that tucked his tail and ran. Because We can't obtain a promise, like it said, without faith, and we can't waver, like it says in James. But we got to try with all our heart, and if we try, then we've given our best effort. And we don't pat ourselves on the back, but we obtain that hope. And this is what I want to talk about. These Lamanites, or they changed their name to Anti-Nephi-Lehi, after they were converted, because of the many murders they'd committed, they hid their swords and they buried them in the earth, and they made a covenant with the Lord that they'd never take up arms against their brethren again, because they feared that they'd commit sin in doing that. So they made a covenant that they never would do that, and their brethren came upon them and killed a bunch of them. But I want to read to you how these people were. I'm going to read in the 31st verse of the 15th chapter of Alma, page 405. And they were also distinguished for their zeal toward God and also toward men, for they were perfectly honest and upright in all things, and they were firm in the faith of Christ even unto the end. And they did look upon the shedding of the blood of their brethren with the greatest abhorrence, and they never could be prevailed to take up arms against their brethren. In the next verse, I want you to notice the hope that they had and why they weren't afraid to die. And they never did look upon death with any degree of terror, for their hope and views of Christ and the resurrection. Therefore, death was swallowed up to them by the victory of Christ over it. Therefore, they would suffer death in the most aggravating and distressing manner which could be inflicted by their brethren before they would take the sword or the scimitar to smite them. You know, they weren't afraid to die. They weren't afraid because of their hope and their views of Christ and the resurrection. And that's the way we have to be, especially in the last day. And like it said in Peter, you know, if we suffer shame, if we suffer hurt, bodily hurt, or anything for the gospel's sake, then we're happy. We should be happy. And like Jay read today about the apostles when they were beaten and told, don't speak the name of Christ again. And they left from the council rejoicing because they had been able to suffer shame for Christ. And that's the way we have to be. We have to have like I said, I don't know, maybe it's not the right word to use, a positive attitude. Maybe, like I said at first, maybe it's faith. Faith and hope. But I know that there's so many things we could do if we tried our hardest, had the patience, and had faith that if it's right, it's going to happen, and not be overbearing on it. But like the song I had Chris sing, and God will take care of you. Be not afraid. He is your safeguard through sunshine and shade. Tenderly watching and keeping his own, he will not leave you to wander alone. And that's another promise we had. And that's another hope, that whatever we do and wherever we go, Christ is always going to be there. He's not going to leave us. You know, these songs, a lot of times, say just the exact words that need to be said. God will take care of you through all the day, shielding your footsteps, directing your way. He is your shepherd, protector, and guide, leading his children where still waters glide. And then the last verse, I think, is about hope, and the hope that we should have. God will take care of you long as you live, granting you blessings no other can give. He will take care of you when time is past, safe to his kingdom will bring you at last. That's the hope. That because he died and was resurrected, that we have the hope of eternal life if we endure to the end. And there's so many things we can do. If we hold on to his promises and don't give up in the first, we don't give up on people that we meet and come in contact with, no matter what kind of people they are. And true, some of them might not be converted to the gospel, but we aren't the ones to say. And we have to give it our best effort. And that's one thing that has always bothered me. When I give up, I can't say that I've given my best effort. And we've got to be able to say, I gave it the most I could and the best, I did the best I could. And if the Lord knows that we did that and we tried with all our heart, He's going to bless us for it, and that's His promise. So I hope that we can all, in the future and in every day and every walk of our life, ask the Lord about it, that His will be done, and accept His will. And when we have a goal in our life, keep praying about it and keep striving for the goal, and ask that if it's wrong, that He'll take it away, and then trust Him. Put our faith and our trust in Him and endure to the end, and that's when we'll have eternal life. Thank you.
Number 189 is the closing song this evening. 189. Shall we stand?
Great and marvelous are Thy works, O Lord of hosts, Almighty One. Earth and firmament speak Thy praise. Thy name is written in the sun. Sing of divine.
Father in heaven, we do thank You for the day that we have spent together with Thee. We ask, Lord, that Thou shalt indeed cause that our hearts might be filled with faith and with hope, and that we, Lord, shall trust You in all of Thy ways and Thy promises, and that, Father, we shall desire to serve You and shall serve You, and shall trust, Father, that even if it only be a few, that Thou shalt cause Thy gospel to go forth. And so, Father, to Thy end, to Thy purposes we pray, and in Christ's name we do ask it. Amen.